Hey, this is Chris Jericho, and you are listening to Houston Wrestling Radio, probably the best podcast in all of Texas, and probably the only one I've ever heard of. So crank it up and enjoy.
Hey, this is Bret the Hitman Hart, and you're listening to Houston Wrestling Radio.
Hey, this is the Innovator of Violence, Tommy Dreamer, and you're listening to Houston Wrestling Radio, taking you to the extreme.
Hi, this is Booker T, WWE Hall of Famer, and you're listening to Houston Wrestling Radio. Now, can you dig that, sucker?
Live from La Cocina Studios, it's the 601st edition. Ah, shit. I mean, 109th edition of Houston Wrestling Radio. This is Abel.
This is Chris.
And I'm Travis.
Oh, we have a little bit of dyslexia or something going on here, you know.
It's the stink from San Antonio.
Is that what it is?
The fucker.
Is it still in your brain?
Yes.
Yeah. HWR road trip to San Antonio, Texas this past week, where we went out and saw Ring of Honor's...
Glory by Honor 13.
Okay. Yes. Glory by Honor 13. So that was pretty cool. And we have... we had a lot to say about it. We have a full...
A whole lot to say about it.
A full blown out special edition episode.
I apologize.
Yeah. Why are you apologizing? It was good.
Who are our special guests?
We had a lot of special guests. We had on first ACH. Well, no, actually, the first interview, if we're going in order, is Kazarian. And that was a damn good interview. Probably one of the best interviews we've ever done. Mostly because of him. And then we also had the entirety of the Kingdom. You know, last week we had on Michael Bennett, and, you know, he called into the show. Well, while we were there, I just wanted to say hi to him and say, hey, thanks for being on the show. But what wound up happening is he and Maria and his tag team partner, Taven, and his stablemate, Adam Cole, all sat down with Travis and I, and we conducted an interview with them right then and there. So that was really cool and really nice of them. And then we also got to see our good friend, ACH. So we got to interview him as well, sit down right in front of the mic, and have a nice little chit chat with him about motivation and motivating old ladies.
Yeah. He gets the loving from the old ones.
Yeah. You need to listen to that story. So go and listen to that episode there. And of course, we had all our friends that went with us down with the road trip. They had little snippets in there to talk, and you get to hear our side of the story too, what we thought of the Ring of Honor show in San Antonio. So make sure you go and check that out, guys. But that's its own separate special edition episode, because we have a full length episode to get to right now with our main weekly show. We have let's get through it. We have a lot of stuff from NXT. Well, not a lot of stuff, but a few things from NXT. We're having a freaking pay-per-view again this weekend with Survivor Series, the second longest running WWE pay-per-view.
Is that why they're giving it away for free?
Maybe that's why. I don't know. And then we also have another really crazy main event from Lucha Underground, and some stuff from TNA that's going away but not going away yet. So where do we want to start, guys?
Company.
Let's get the crap over with.
Which one?
Surprisingly, it's not TNA this time. Let's start with WWE.
All right, we're starting with WWE. You say you get the crap over with, but from what I hear, there was a pretty good match that came out of SmackDown. Now, you two, y'all saw that match,
yes,
right? I didn't see it. So you guys will have to let me know. How was Kid versus Cesaro versus Ziggler?
It was good.
How good was it?
Match of the week candidate.
Yep.
Definitely?
Yes.
If it wasn't for another certain show that came on weekly, that would be my pick of the week.
Really?
Yep.
That good? Why was it so good?
Just a good combination of some of the moves that there were. There was one combination, Chris. Do you remember which one it was? There was like a big reverse. There's a big segment of just chain submissions.
With all three of them?
Oh, Kid had the sharpshooter, and then Cesaro did a crossface on Ziggler at the same time.
Yeah.
And then Kid, instead of holding onto the move, saw that Cesaro was trying to tap him out too, so he breaks his hold to kick Cesaro in the head.
Well, that's some good ring psychology there.
Yeah.
To which JBL just lamb blasted him and said, "Why would you do that?
You dummy!"
It's like, how would he submit? Like, who would get the win?
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
but then again, it was elimination?
It was elimination. Yeah. Cesaro was eliminated by Tyson Kidd.
What?
Yep.
Really?
And we got Ziggler beating Tyson Kidd. Dude, NXT has done wonders for the guy. He's found his niche. He's got his character together. He's actually cultivated his moveset to blend in with his character. Mm-hmm. He's looking like a better wrestler than he did when he came in with
DH.
With DH Smith, mm-hmm. when he came and started doing things on his own, when they teamed him with Gabriel, even before yeah, when they were teaming before he went to NXT.
Right,
this is the best Tyson Kidd we've got so far.
The most polished.
And
for
it
sure.
feels like more could be coming. Like he, as good as he is right now, it feels like he just needs the right program, whether on NXT or on the main roster, to put him right at the top level of the mid card, maybe possibly a little bit higher than that.
Okay.
It's coming a lot really good. And Natty's helping too. The whole dynamic of them playing off, it's working very well.
What did you think about Cesaro? I saw it coming. I knew, I was, even when the match started, I said, I bet Cesaro is going to get eliminated first, and it'll probably be by Kid. And guess what happened?
You can't ask that question. I read the spoiler Tuesday afternoon before it even.
Well, I mean, it goes back to the whole Cesaro. They say he's not being punished, but that fool's getting punished for this comment that he said.
It seems as though he is. I mean, I didn't watch this particular match, but over the course of the last few weeks and even last night on Raw, it kind of seems like
definitely.
That.
Yeah.
But the only counterpoint to that is, how do we consider it a punishment if he's having a match of the week quality on SmackDown? And then fast forward to Raw, I would say another match of the week candidate with Ryback.
That is true. Yes, that was a very, very good match.
That's the best I've seen out of Ryback.
You think so? Best out of Ryback?
Yeah.
I'm trying to reach for maybe another match, but I'm failing. Can you think
of
one?
If you find it, let me know. But Ryback...
Hashtag enter HWR.
Ryback looked really good against Cesaro. Stiffness against stiffness.
I feel like we've had this conversation before.
Stiffness
versus one of the Cena matches, maybe?
Somebody. I remember saying that, wow, that was a good match even though Ryback was in it and somebody made Ryback
look
good.
Did he have a good match with Punk?
Or Daniel Bryan?
I was leaning to one of those two, either Punk or Bryan.
On Raw?
You know those indie guys that came in for a little bit? Yeah. We haven't seen them again? Those guys.
Yeah, those guys from No,
I saw Punk on Talking Dead.
Yeah. You mean Phil Brooks?
No,
he was CM Punk.
Yeah.
That's his right now.
Interesting. Yeah. Those ROH guys. Ring of Honor.
But that was the only thing from SmackDown that stood out to me.
Yep.
Okay. Now, since this is a Survivor Series week, we got to do our predictions, anticipation levels, all that. But before we get to just doing that full blown out, because I think everything from Raw pretty much ties into Survivor Series, except for the New Day stuff.
We predicted it of last week between the three of us. Travis saw it coming weeks away. It was official. Big E is part of the group.
Yes, I am. I like it. I said it. When we first saw Xavier Woods do it, that, if all of them are in it, I'm going to be happy with it. If they're not, I'm not going to be happy with it. They're all in it. So I'm excited for this. I have high hopes for this.
It's a new day.
It's a new day. I have one nit to pick.
The fact that when you say new day, it reminds me of Legacy's theme music. I know. I get the same one, too.
No, that wasn't. No.
Oh, okay.
But is that your nit to pick?
A little bit. No.
I don't know. Oh, are you being facetious?
Sure. Why not? What's your nit to
okay.
pick?
I don't know if I want Big E to necessarily act the same way as Kofi and Woods. And here is my vision when I saw Big E in that promo, just in the wife beater tank top kind of thing. I was thinking
it was a V-neck t-shirt, bro.
Okay. Well, whatever. He wasn't in a suit and he wasn't in button-up shirt. Okay.
What kind of shirts you wear?
What I saw him in, it reminded me of this, and I'm like, oh, this is how he could be different in the group. Have him be, and I might lose some people on this. I didn't even tweeted this out, but some people got the reference and favored it. Have him be the strong guy in the preacher group, like the power team. Do you know what I'm talking about?
The power team?
Yeah.
This is a group like from the 90s that was going around and lifting weights and stuff like that?
Yeah. The
religious ones?
The church group people that would go to churches and have like this big thing where they would tear up phone books and roll up frying pans and do all kinds of like strongman feats
the
of strength.
Power of the Lord.
Exactly. Yeah. Like I thought, if they did that, if Big E did that, it would kind of mesh a little bit better with him and it would be something different than the other two. But god damn, that would be so funny if he started doing that stuff. I kind of had visions of him doing that. But then it was like, oh, okay, he's kind of doing the same thing that the other two are doing. All right, I'll give it a shot. I still have high hopes for it, but that was my one deviation from that I would have made.
From the 1 30-second promo that you saw him do.
From the 1 30-second promo. That's the one deviation that I would have went with. Have him do a callback to the power team stuff.
In his white beater, tank top V-neck t-shirt.
Yes, exactly.
All right.
Is three enough, or do you need five?
I think three's enough. Do you think there needs to be five?
I'm just curious. I don't know.
Where's Truth at? He's the one that sings. Why is he in this group?
Well, let's see. Where's the... Oh, Darren Young. There you go.
Where's Titus?
Titus is... I don't know, but he's been on TV recently.
I'm just waiting for the promo where the three are in the ring complaining that because they're black, they don't get pushed. Then comes out Mark Henry saying, if anyone knows about that position, it's me, because I used to be in the Nation and I bitched and cried and I didn't get shit. And it was when I did it on my own when I became world heavyweight champion, and they all beat him up, and that's how they solidify the group.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, okay, I can see that. I'm okay with that. Travis, what would be your suggestion?
I don't know. I don't know. Something you normally have some good, you know, thoughts on theories, but I don't know. Something's not flying with that one on me.
It's because it's got to do with black people, and Travis is white.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's all right.
It's okay.
I thought we were talking about Survivor Series.
Well, we're about to right now.
We're about to. So yeah. we're done with the New Day stuff?
Sure.
Okay, boom. Boom. Let's go to Survivor Series predictions.
Pre-show. We have the return of not one, but two guys.
Yeah.
Fandango and Bad News Barrett.
Now, there was something interesting on Raw about that when they announced it. They made a point to say the new and improved Fandango. What the hell does that mean, new and improved?
You gotta have the network to find out.
Well, I have the network, but I didn't bother to tune in. Did any of you guys bother to tune in?
No, hasn't happened yet, Abel. This Sunday. You have to watch the Survivor Series free on the network to see the new and improved Fandango.
Okay.
Comes with speed holes to make him dance faster.
Speed holes?
Yes, speed holes.
Abel has a different definition of speed holes, man.
Hey.
First match that was just updated today. We have a traditional, air quotes for traditional, because people might have a different idea of what that means. A 4-on-4 Survivor Series traditional Divas elimination match.
There's no such thing as a traditional Divas match.
On the one team, we have Natalya, Alicia Fox.
On the same team?
Naomi. And the chick that did this with her arms?
Emma.
That girl. It's been a while since the mugshot. I forgot what she looked like. Against the team of Paige, Cameron, Summer Rae, and Layla.
You're like, what?
No, he's right. Okay.
Okay, Emma, Naomi, Alicia Fox, and Natalya versus Paige, Cameron, Summer Rae, Layla.
Is there an echo in here?
We did it so sloppily, I just figured I'd do it after that.
Yeah. Well, I think there's something to that. I mean, Chris was kind of stuttering there because he wanted to make sure that he was getting those teams right, because they seemed kind of strange. Like, none
it's
of those
booking
teammates...
for the Divas. What difference is it? What
this
what
looks like? This looks like leftover lunch from last night's dinner.
Yes.
It's like, yeah, we get all the stuff that we didn't eat, we'll throw it together in one big pile, and we'll call it a salad. And that's what we're getting.
Yeah,
we're
exactly. Getting
a salad of leftover plastic and
the writers and the bookers, they don't give a shit about Divas. This is a thrown-together match. What's next?
Yeah, this isn't even Total Divas versus non-Total Divas. Yeah. This is just a mishmash here. So anticipation level, 3.
Zero.
Travis?
0. I don't give a shit.
Go. Chris?
1.
Do you care who wins?
Natalya.
Okay.
No,
Travis?
Predictions for who's going to win?
Prediction?
The one with...
Paige?
Sure.
I'll go with the team with Paige.
Natalya's going to win with someone else on her team, and Tyson's going to come out. Instead of raising Natty's hand, he's going to raise the other person that won on her team. And this is going to further piss off Natty.
Sure. You know what? I'll go with that. Sure. Natalya's going to win.
All right.
Speaking of, WWE Tag Team Title Fatal 4-Way Match. The Miz and Mizdow.
Okay.
Los Matadores,
mm-hmm.
The Usos,
mm-hmm.
And the champions, the Brothers Dust.
Gold Star.
Yeah.
Still Gold Star to me, damn it.
4-way, not elimination.
4-way, non-elimination.
Yeah. So one fall to a finish.
Yes, I'm.
Okay, with 8 guys in the ring, one fall to a finish.
I'm going to go on a limb and say Miz Mizdow is going to win this one.
Yes.
Think so?
I agree.
To further
push the shtick.
Yeah. Something's got to happen with Miz and Mizdow.
Shtick. I said shtick.
Yeah. Yeah, and eventually that's going to have to build to them getting some tension between them, professional jealousy. And
I'm the tag team champion. Yeah.
No, because here's what's going on. The announcers and everybody else is saying that Mizdow is overshadowing The Miz. The Miz has yet to acknowledge that aspect of this whole tandem. So I see them winning, and really quickly it's going to just fall apart.
Yeah. Yeah. So that would be my prediction as well. So are we all on that same page there with
what's
the prediction?
What's your anticipation level, Travis?
3 or 4.
Abel?
I'm a little bit higher.
Because it's The Miz?
No, because it's a multi-team match, and we haven't seen those in a while, and sometimes they can be good. So I'm going to go with maybe a 7.
Whoa.
I'm going to pull Abel here. Because of The Mizdow, I'm at a 7.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've been the one that's been liking it. You've been kind of falling a little bit behind on wanting to like it. So. Yeah.
That's what I do. That's my gimmick.
Yeah, everybody has to have one. All right. Dean Ambrose against Bray Wyatt.
All right. This one's a bit tricky here because there's parts of it that, well, at least for anticipation level, it's tricky. Because there's parts of it that's like, okay, this has been pretty good and I want to see it. But then there's other parts that's been like, this doesn't make sense. This is kind of crap. So I'm not sure where I'm at anticipation level wise.
Here's my issue with this match. Okay. I think the match shouldn't be until the next pay-per-view. I think they need to be on Team Cena and Team Authority. And then the blow-off match to solve whatever problems they have with each other will be on TLC or whatever the pay-per-view is.
Okay.
That's mine. But going into this match, I'll say 5, I guess, on anticipation level for me.
Okay.
I think Ambrose and Rollins should be facing each other in this Team Authority, Team Cena. And this is where Bray Wyatt interferes to start their feud. This should have happened this pay-per-view instead of
last pay-per-view.
What the hell did Hell in a Cell end like this?
Yeah.
This is where it should have happened at Survivor Series.
Okay.
And then balance it out with out of nowhere RKO for the other team.
All right.
I'm not really interested in this match either. I'm at a 3.
Wow, that low.
Yeah.
Now see, I want to be higher because I really want to see the match, and I really wish that the booking for this was better because I like Dean and I like Bray. So I want it to be like somewhere around a 9, but it's not. I may go with like a 6, actually. You know, I mean,
who's winning then?
Well, that's a better question. I don't know. I'm just gonna take a stab at it and just say Bray. I have no rhyme or reason.
You know what we say, never bet against Cena?
Yeah.
I'm going to say never bet for Bray, so I'm going to say Ambrose.
Oh, you know what? You have a point there. Bray's been losing everything.
But this is the repackaged
Bray. Which means
Bray.
He's due. I'm picking Bray.
Okay.
I'm sticking with Ambrose.
Yeah. All right.
Maybe this Divas match will tip your pickle, Travis. AJ against Nikki for the Divas Butterfly Polly Pocket title.
Hey, what'd y'all think of Bray dressed up as AJ?
Very nice.
Oh my god.
And the fact that AJ acknowledged that Brie looked better in her getup than AJ did, I was like, she's bi. I know it. Punk is lucky. Punk.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go as far as anticipation, probably a 5. 4. Maybe.
3. 2.
Is that your prediction?
1.
Or your anticipation is 1? Okay.
Last
Chris? I'm at a 6.
No. You're at a 6.
No,
the storyline hasn't lost me, but it hasn't done a lot to push it higher. Until Monday, the whole AJ thing, AJ Bree looking.
AJ's been in the background. It's more or less been about Nikki this whole time.
Yeah.
I read a little something a couple of days ago that's going to, for my prediction, I think Nikki's going to take it just because Nikki's been pushed a lot more than the other Divas. But rumors that AJ might be leaving after Survivor Series.
Yeah.
So,
I heard about that too.
Saying that she's going to drop the belt to Nikki.
I could see Nikki having it and the 30 days of Brie being her assistant expire, and then all of a sudden, boom, hey, I want that title that I helped you win.
Expires the day after Survivor Series.
Yeah, so Monday.
30 days, something like that. Yeah. I don't know when the last pay-per-view was, but yeah.
On Monday Night Raw, that automatically, boom, instant title feud right there. So, yeah. I'm not as high on it, though, as far as anticipation level goes. I think I'm going with a 5.
So you got Nikki winning?
Nikki winning.
I think it's a no-brainer for Nikki.
All
Unless
right.
they do some kind of weird swerve where AJ wins and then loses on Raw.
Yeah, and then the whole... I think they might let Nikki win to squash the conspiracy theory that, oh, if you're on Total Divas, you can't be the women's champ. They might do it on purpose just to say, oh, no, we never had that rule.
You dumb marks.
Yeah.
You big dummy.
But in actuality, they did, and they're just doing this retroactively and say, see, it was like this the entire time, when they're just lying through the teeth.
Traditional 5-on-5 Survivor Series match, Jesus. Main event. And yes, we're only 5 matches in.
Okay, before we get into the match on this, do we want to talk about the whole segment, the contract, quote-unquote, contract signing segment on Raw?
Yeah.
That needs to be addressed.
That does need to be addressed. That was a bit of a cluster, I'd say.
A bit?
More than a bit. A bite.
That was a big... Plus or something.
Yeah.
Abel, who is on Team Authority?
Well, there's Kane. There's, well, Rollins. You know, he's a leader. Rusev. Mark Henry. And I'm missing somebody here.
Harper. Don't help him.
Harper. Well, yeah, okay. Yeah, Harper. All
right, then Travis.
And maybe Cesaro?
No.
Kind of not really?
That's it. Trav, who's on Team Cena?
What's that guy's name? Cena?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's on Ziggler.
Mm-hmm.
We got Big Show. Mm-hmm. This is where it kind of starts falling apart for me. Yeah. You got to help me out with this, Chris. I watched Raw.
The big guy
is he on there? What happened to Sheamus? Because Sheamus says he was going to be on there.
Sheamus got power or World's Strongest Slam through the table,
so that gets him off the team.
If he's injured,
he did it. He was in the hospital and he didn't make it to the uncontract signing.
They didn't sign a contract.
Right.
Yeah.
A contract was never signed at the contract signing, by the way.
Okay. So...
Ryback.
Okay, Ryback is on there.
Apparently.
And Rowan.
Eric Rowan.
Huh?
What?
Was it...
Okay, Harper was enough of a, huh? Now you're adding Rowan? Huh? Yeah. What? Like, I don't understand why all of a sudden the two... members of the Wyatt family are on opposite teams, let alone on the teams that they're on. Like, I don't get why it happened that way.
Like, Rowan earlier in the show was trying to get some pussy. Literally. That's what he was wanting to do. So why, like...
Some grumpy pussy.
Yeah. You never want that.
Yeah.
Might snap at you.
Or fall asleep on you.
Yeah.
That was a total... I don't know what was going on. I was confused. A little bit terrified of what was going on in the ring because that made no sense for the show.
Whose anticipation level for the main event went up as soon as they saw Cesaro walk out to the ring to possibly be on Team Cena?
Mine.
Mine.
Mine didn't.
Really?
No.
Really?
Yeah.
They buried Cesaro.
Okay.
Cena has a team of losers.
That's true.
And Cesaro would have fit perfectly in that set of losers.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It would have been so random for him automatically, which I thought would be random until fucking Rowan shows up. I was like, Cesaro would have been perfect since now. But yeah, that whole segment was fucking
stupid. Fine, Travis. Cesaro or Rowan?
Cesaro.
Cesaro.
Cesaro. But what do we get?
Rowan.
What do we get?
Rowan.
What do we get?
Fucking Rowan.
Okay, so why, what was the purpose of Cesaro coming out and pretending like he was going to be on Team Cena and then saying, haha, gotcha, bitch, and then it seemed like he was going to be on Team Authority, even though Team Authority already has enough people as it is on their team?
It was it was a suck-up to the Authority, pretty much.
But why?
To be an asshole? I don't know. Like, why would he? I don't know. I don't know.
And that's my point.
No, remind us why you're not putting him in the position he's supposed to be right now. Why is he not main eventing something?
I don't know. It was just so weird.
He just had to say that something about Cena and Orton. That's all.
Yeah. Anticipation level, Abel.
Of this match?
Yes.
5?
Travis?
I guess a 5.
For the randomness. If it's already random now, just imagine how random the match is going to be. I'm also at a 5.
Yeah.
Not too high, not too low, because I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I there's part of me that says that I want to be low. I want to be at like something like a 5 because there is a possibility of the unknown happening and making it go up, but I don't want to.
Yeah, we still have SmackDown in main event.
Some kind of swerve is happening on Cena's team, I think.
Has to. Now, let me give you a bit of what one of my coworkers said this morning when they were talking about Raw. He was saying that, well, the reason why it's happening this way without Sheamus being on there and Cesaro coming out is that Cesaro will come out to help Authority, not be on the team, but just help with Authority with shenanigans, and that's going to get neutralized by Sheamus running out and neutralizing Cesaro, and then Sheamus versus Cesaro later on Monday Night Raw.
No, I was having visions of Sheamus still being, this is before the whatever ending that was, I was having visions of Sheamus still being on the team, turning on Cena at the pay-per-view.
Okay.
Free preview, or whatever the hell you want to call it.
But now you think it's Sheep Mask that's going to do the turn?
That's the obvious one, isn't it?
It is.
Somebody's going to cost Cena the match. And Authority is going to retain. That's my prediction. Authority is going to win.
I think that was my prediction last week as well. I said that I think that the Authority hasn't run its course yet. And as much as we don't necessarily like heel Authority figures, and the heel Authority figure has been done to death in WWE, I think this particular iteration, the Authority is Triple H and Stephanie and all their cronies, this particular iteration isn't done yet.
I think they're just now getting their vibe of a corporation format, I guess.
Yeah.
Stable, if you will.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's not why I'm saying that. I just...
Well, that's my reason. Right. Your reason could be different.
Yeah. I'm just saying it's... If Authority wins... Or, sorry. If Cena wins, then Authority goes away. Boo-ha-ha. And then that's it. If the Authority wins... We can still move on and kind of go different directions on different feuds.
Yeah. So we all got the Authority?
Yeah.
Do you got the Authority?
Yeah.
Okay. Although you could say that all the faces are losers, and this is the
and
one
they're
time.
They're due up for their win.
Never bet against Cena.
That's true.
Unless he gets...
Holy shit, I'm betting against Cena.
Unless he gets attacked by someone on his team who he's not expecting. Right. So who would he not be expecting to turn on?
Orton.
Orton's on. I was expecting Orton to come out. Instead of Rowan, of all fucking people, I was thinking Orton's music.
If they stuck to the Ryback gun, they should have just
Ryback.
Just kept Ryback out.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking. I was thinking instead of Ryback's music hitting, I was going to hear Orton's music. And Orton was going to come out and sign the little paper that was never signed.
The paper was never signed from either member of either team.
Right.
So this was a contract signing that was a bunch of bunk. It wasn't an actual contract signing.
Do you think that was going to, because of that, they did that on purpose and maybe on SmackDown?
No, I think that they were just idiots and they overlooked it. I don't think it was done on purpose. I think they were just stupid.
All right. Anticipation level for the entire show, Travis?
I'll give it a 6 just because it's Survivor Series.
I think I'm about a 6.
I'm about a 5.
Yeah? Yeah. And that's
I can
sad.
See why it's free.
This is effing Survivor Series.
For free.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's two layers to it. One, this is effing Survivor Series. Right. It should be. It's the second biggest show of the year, if you, depending on how you look at it. It's definitely one of the big four, so it should be something that's high up there on the list of something that you want to watch. Right. But it's not. And you're trying to make this be your nail in the coffin to make sure that the network survives. You're trying to make this be the thing that's going to drive people to the network. Your last ditch effort, put it on for free. You should go balls to the wall, and their balls are firmly not on the wall. They're in the pants still. Like they should be doing so much more, and it's so frustrating that this pay per view isn't the be all end all pay per views that it should be right now.
Well, let's look back at the history. The last 5-10 years of Survivor Series build up.
Meh.
Yeah, it's always been the same.
One other thing that we didn't talk about on our notes. What do you guys think of Harper being the new Intercontinental Campione?
Oh, yeah. That's another what-the-fuck moment.
I don't mind that much. Well, okay. Why do you mind?
If there was more meaning to it, I would appreciate it more. But it was so random just to...
It was just a screw over Ziggler to screw over Team Cena, like, and that's it.
Like, if you're looking at the history of the Intercontinental Champions, you need to see Harper.
I don't know. See, on the one hand, like, I kind of agree with you that it was just a plot device to further, quote-unquote, the storyline of the Authority screwing over Team Cena. I mean, looking past that, I don't mind Luke Harper having the Intercontinental title, because I feel like he's kind of been an unsung hero on the Wyatts. You know, he's been pretty good. He's a good wrestler. He could talk almost just as well as Bray if you give him the chance to give him the mic. You know, I think he's a good enough, unsung worker, I guess you could say, that could
probably do things with him. I don't know. I could see a U.S. champ, not an Intercontinental champ.
Okay.
Chris? It's mid-card. What's the difference?
The history of the titles.
Oh, okay. Dummy. Anything else for WWE?
No, that's it.
I think for me. We might be forgetting something, but fuck it.
Yeah. All right. Want to take a ride to the NXT neighborhood?
Ding, 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 ding. Let's go.
All right. We finally saw Finn Balor. And it's
Baylor.
Baylor? I thought it was Balor.
Balor.
Balor. Finn Balor and Hideo Itami team up. Hi. Right. And they took on the team of Justin Gabriel and Tyson Kidd.
I did like the little pre-match promo from Kidd and Gabriel, kind of pointing out what I would assume that casual viewers would probably be thinking.
Yeah.
Like, who are you?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Viewers that aren't, like, hip on indie stuff and Japan stuff and all that. Right. Yeah.
I was kind of siding with them. Like, if the signings weren't so public and I didn't know who the hell Prince Devitt was 2 months ago.
And you didn't know who the hell Kenta was?
Yeah. I'd be like, I these guys have a good point. Mm-hmm. Why are we making a big deal about these guys?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah, they need to pay their dues. And, you know, here you got Kidd and Gabriel, former tag champs, by the way, coming out here and making that point. So, yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah. Chris, any thoughts on that?
I like the setup to the match.
Yeah.
The match was a little bit to be desired.
It was. I was a little disappointed with the actual match itself.
I was trying to watch it with Chris over here, and I was just...
He was easily distracted.
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't think you missed much. Like, it could have been like, oh my god, this match is great, but I think it was like, this was a nice little match. Maybe a match of the week candidate, if it was a slow week, you know?
I pointed it out to Travis when we were finished, when the match was over, it was like... Look at Itami doing the post-match, like, he looking at the camera, then he went back to looking at Finn, then he went back and posing with the camera again to point out that Finn was next to him, then he looked back at Finn. He looked like he was a little lost in the environment of having the camera, like having a hard camera. But again, it's developmental, you get to iron those out. It's hard to think that way when you know how good of a history Kenta has and apparently how good of a history Devitt has had.
Yeah.
You expect them to be coming at 100% here, but when they're told to essentially start at the bare minimum and eventually build up to where a level that's unrecognizable to them, it's kind of off-putting at first.
You have to learn a completely different style.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But, that left a little bit to be desired, but it's not saying that it was completely bad.
It wasn't bad at all.
It was decent enough, but that was that.
Yeah.
But there was another match on the card that I thought... fell a little flat, like a little bit.
The end match
with Zayn versus Neville. I kind of get that you still want to have heat on this feud. I understand that, and the match itself was good. I don't really have a complaint, but I also don't have a highlight.
It was there.
It was a good match, solid. What you would expect out of those two, but there was no pizzazz to it. I guess. I mean, as much of little pizzazz as pizzazzy as those two can have. But my big problem was the ending. I get that you want to have that to keep going, but at the same time, it's been going for a while. And you had the month build up with, a Zayn for the gold, beating everybody and then, finally working his way up. Like, I don't know if it was A, the right call to have Sammy lose, and B, have Sammy lose in the way that he lost.
Well, you just said what else. Yeah.
I'm sorry, I stole your thunder.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, we get it. That's a really heel thing to do, and it's an easy way to get heel heat and a good way to get over. I mean, hell, we were all about it when we saw Byron Wilcott do it live and in person at NWA Houston months and months ago, where he feigned the injury just to...
You've seen that several times.
Yes, you're right.
As soon as a wrestler goes down with a knee, I'm done.
And the ref throws up the X on purpose for the hard camera.
Instead of calling the match off and then doing the X and getting the help. Dude throwing up the X, but the ref, but he hasn't stopped the match? Okay, yeah.
Not even that. It's just... What Jim Cornette said one time, if it happens in front of the camera, it's work.
Yeah.
And they're treading thin water because the guy, when I first watched NXT, I heard a lot of things about the man that Gravity forgot. And, oh my God, this guy in the indies before he became Adrian Neville. Oh my God, this guy used to be, Pac or whatever. Oh my God, turn on NXT and I see Adrian Neville and I'm thinking, where's the rest of him? Well, he can barely reach the top rope. So if you're going to make him a heel, this is the same problem I had with Rusev when you're making Rusev the heel go up against Mark Henry, who's bigger than him, and you're going to put him against Big Show, who is bigger than him. The heel's going to come out looking either like a babyface or it's just not going to look right.
Yeah.
And if they're going to turn Neville heel on this against a taller Sami Zayn, which looks like he can take him out in a wrestling match, it's going to sink the anticipation level and the match quality in the perspective of a wrestling fan that's looking
at it. So are you saying the heels always have to be bigger than the faces?
Imagine Rey Mysterio gets Big Show with Rey Mysterio as the heel.
That wouldn't work. Exactly. I'm trying to picture Rey as a heel in the first place.
I'm sure
without
that,
a mask,
maybe. I'm sure that there'll be exceptions to that rule because there's exceptions to this all one isn't rules. It. And this one, yeah, you're right. This one isn't it. I don't know if it's solely because of that. You know, I think there's other factors going into it why it's not particularly working. I think maybe it's because I don't buy Neville as a heel. I think he is better as a face. But I don't know if it's because, he's just short.
Well, let me ask you guys a question then. Is this too little too late for Zayn? Like, should they have pulled this trigger at the first takeover?
That's the other thing.
The second special.
Yeah, you got to strike while the iron's hot, and the iron is cooling down rapidly now on Sami Zayn.
Match of the year candidate with him and Cesaro last year. Was it last year or this year?
It was February. February? So it was like the second week after the network launched.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, dude. That's when he had all the momentum on his side.
Yeah.
He kept losing.
Yeah. And then they built it back up with the I want to say Flair for the gold, but his Road Redemption, and then they just,
Which I mean,
if they want to see how this is going to end up, just look at TNA with Bobby Roode.
Mm-hmm.
This is what you're going to get with Zayn.
Yeah.
I think the momentum's already started. For me, I think the momentum's already lost.
Yeah. Like going to this match, I didn't have to see this match. Like I didn't feel like I had to watch it.
For me, they didn't strike. They didn't pull the trigger. When the disc was already in the air, and now that it's on the ground, I've got a different gun. I've already got a Tommy. I've already got Devitt. And I'm hearing Kevin Steen might be debuting at this next NXT special. My love with Zayn's done. It's not done, but it's not on the front burner.
Now,
it's somewhere in the oven.
Had Zayn won definitively, I think we'd be having a completely different conversation
right now. Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, but I think that... Again, I get that you still want to have heat on this feud, but I think that in trying to keep it and trying to extend it, you've lost it.
Yeah. Well, they're supposed to extend this match as the main event for the NXT special. If that's
the
case,
when is that?
That's in December. That's in about 3 or 4 weeks. But if that was the case, they should have never had this match.
Yeah, and if that was the case, instead of doing all the Road to Redemption matches back to back every week, have them make every 2 weeks.
Exactly.
You know, that way you could have, went along with the timeline to have it sync up to where at the next TakeOver show, that's when he's challenging Neville, and that's when he wins the title. If you have to have it on a bigger stage, which even with NXT... I mean, I understand that you now have big shows with TakeOver, and they kind of have pay-per-view feels to them, but I still feel as though NXT is small enough and developmental enough that you don't have to have all the big and major title changes happen at the quote-unquote pay-per-view. Yeah. You know, you could have it on the regular show. Whereas with TNA, you can't necessarily do that, but I think with NXT, you could get away with it. But I don't know. That's my opinion.
The trip to the neighborhood.
That was a rough trip to the neighborhood.
It's the weather, man. We've had bad weather this week.
Yeah, I guess that's what it is. All right. Shall we take a commercial break?
Yeah.
All right. When we come back, we'll talk about TNA and Lucha Underground. Okay.
Hey everyone, this is Travis from Houston Wrestling Radio, and I want to tell you about our new show called Pop Culture Rewind. On it, we talk about everything from movies, video games, comics, TV shows, music, and more. So check us out at Facebook at facebook.com/popculturerewind, and find us on iTunes and hit the subscribe button. And don't forget to pop your culture.
Hey everybody, this is Chris from Houston Wrestling Radio, and I am excited to tell you guys about our brand new shirt hitting in the shop at hwrpodcast.redbubble.com. Just in time if you want to get ready for Wrestle Kingdom 9, or if you want to get ready for Super Smash Brothers. Nothing tops it off by wearing our Bullet Bill Club t-shirt designed by our friend Awesome AG Designs. Pick it up while it's hot. hwrpodcast.redbubble.com.
Hey, this is Frankie Kazarian, one half of The Addiction, the best tag team in the biz, Ness, and you're listening to Houston Wrestling Radio.
All right, guys, we're back. So, yeah, Bullet Bill Club t-shirt.
You're welcome.
Yes, thank you so much, Chris, for coming up with that idea and having Aaron at Awesome AG's Designs you know, actually put it to paper. So that's awesome. So
it was fun working with him hands on.
Yeah.
I had an idea. I threw it to him. He gave me something back. I threw it back at him. We went back and forth a few times and it came out very good.
Yes.
Probably one of my favorite designs he's done.
Yeah. I totally agree.
I bought two shirts already. Yeah.
So yeah, this is definitely a cool design. You could have one too. Just, you know, go to hwrpodcast.redbubble.com. But I'm sure you heard that in our commercial already, so we're not going to belabor that anymore.
What do you mean, go by hwrpodcast.redbubble.com?
Yeah, that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, I get the extra 15% off using stocking15 as the code?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about that anymore.
Yeah. Not anymore. You know, because it's about to be Christmas, so yeah. You know, buy stuff.
Hwrpodcast.redbubble.com. Yeah.
I don't think it picks up you whispering. Maybe you should.
hwrpodcast.redbubble.com.
Now you're just seducing the people.
Whatever I gotta do. Sex sells, baby.
Oh boy. All right. So you know, that's that. And of course, you know, if you're listening to our show, please you know, take a minute to help us out with different ways. If you're listening to us on iTunes, you could hit the subscribe button and get all of our updates, not just our regular main weekly shows that we do, but also our specials, like, for example, our ROH road trip out to
San Antonio.
San Antonio, yes, our San Antonio road trip special for Ring of Honor.
Inspire Pro that we did for Austin.
Right, so.
Further back in time, we have our NWA Houston special invasion. Looking at the schedule, maybe we might want to do something for Wrestle Kingdom in January.
We might do one for that, yeah. And of course, we've had the Ladies of HWR special edition episodes also. So
all kinds of fun stuff.
All kinds of fun stuff. So check that out. And by hitting the subscribe button, you get everything we got. You can also leave us a rating and a review. If you want to interact with us directly, you could do so on facebook.com/HoustonWrestlingRadio or on Twitter at @HWrestlingRadio. So,
ta-da.
All right, so do we want to take a trip down to the ghetto?
The ghetto.
Yeah, down to TNA.
Oh, we're doing that first?
Oh, are we? Or are we going to El Barrio, to Lucha Underground first?
I like Lucha better.
You want to talk about Lucha?
Let's go to the barrio. Vámonos, cabrones! Solo. For the four wetbacks that listen to the show, you're welcome.
You already lost me.
Pinche.
Oh wow, that was awesome.
I felt like I was in Mexico just now.
And racists. Oh,
we're prejudiced against all races.
Yes, we are. Yeah.
Especially your own.
Yeah. All right. So, what we had out of this week's Lucha Underground, I say the highlights from it were more so the storyline progression than the wrestling this week. Although
the foundation of the show, the brand.
Yep. Yes. Although there was a really good match as well. The beginning, I mean, we had that what was his name? Loco.
Mariachi Loco.
Mariachi Loco versus a mini. Okay, that's cool. It was fun. It was their attempt at the comedy, I'd say.
Kind of a famous mini.
You know? Yeah, kind of a famous mini from what I understand.
Yeah,
right?
Máscara Sagrada. Máscarita Sagrada.
Come on, even I know him, Abel. Yeah.
Okay. Professor.
The only thing I have to pick about that is that Lucha Underground did a good job of explaining how the women are on the same level as the men.
Yes.
Again, they did a good job explaining on how legendary the minis are and how they're also on the same level as people that are twice their size.
Mm-hmm.
But from my experience in wrestling, no matter how good a job they try to do, I just couldn't get into it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I can't see myself enjoying on a regular basis a mini wrestler against an average size wrestler.
Yeah.
But some of that is just me for my personal taste.
Right.
If other people took it the same way, because like, come on, we've had this conversation. We all see.
Yeah.
That's bananas. I love that.
Yeah.
But it's mini against mini. I don't mind seeing mini against mini. That's been in AAA and in Mexican wrestling for years.
Yes.
But my suspension of disbelief can only go so far. I can't do it with one mini against one regular guy.
But in this particular match, I think they matched up well. But where I was saying that it was their attempt at comedy stuff isn't so much that, oh, it's an average-sized guy versus a mini. For me, it was more like Mariachi Loco. Okay, that's really over the top. Okay, yeah. I mean, you have, you know, Blue Demon and Mil Muertes.
He'll play you a song, but first he's going to beat up this midget.
Yeah, it's like, okay. Yeah. So I wasn't too much into that. So I don't know. Trav, unless you have anything else to add to that, I think we should just move on. Oh, okay, let's just move on to what I thought was the better things from this show. First, the background vignette or whatever you want to call it for Mil Muertes.
I call it the origin story.
Yes.
They did a good job of it. I like it. I don't know what it was exactly that was special about it. It just felt unique enough for me to say, hey, this is cool. They're actually giving this, you know, fictional character a fictional history and biography, pretty much.
Yes.
You know, telling how he came about to be, you know, it was...
Well, the reason why you think it's so special is because it is special. That's something that you don't see anymore on WWE or TNA or anything like that. The best you got that I can remember something like this happening is Kane. Kane's background stories and, oh, when he finally debuted, oh, that's got to be Kane. Yes, in this way, the guy debuted and then you get the background story. But the point is, you're having a fleshed out character background story being told aside from what's going on right now with him and wrestling and all that stuff.
I was going to say Mankind, but yeah, Kane works too.
Kane or Mankind. Oh, either way, Attitude Era.
Right.
Back then.
Yeah.
You don't get that shit for Stardust. You know?
Which would help.
It would.
I don't know. Did they do it on Twitter?
I had flashbacks of the Ultimate Warrior from Parts Unknown. Load the spaceship with the rocket fuel. All my warriors to the Battle of the Gods. Wrestling in the 80s, they kind of took it as in, yeah, we're entertainment. So we're going to just run with it.
Mm-hmm.
Lucha Underground knows it's entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to run with it. And the way they built this guy up, he's supposed to be a bad guy because the chick is licking all these people's faces and the guy's big and menacing and he looks like a badass.
Yeah.
But that story gave you the reason. This is what the equivalent of what WWE, I guess, was trying to do with Dean Ambrose and fell flat.
Okay.
This came across a whole lot better.
Mm-hmm. Is it because it was shot cinematically?
No.
No?
Okay. If I had my eyes closed and someone was just reading me the story, that's a better origin story.
But what I guess what I'm trying to say is, would it have been different if it was just another wrestler cutting a promo, telling you the story about it, instead of it being shot like a movie or a TV show where you just see what's happening? Would it have been different for you?
It's like your comparisons to Kane or Mankind, where we got the appearance first and then we got the backstory. If we already got the appearance of Ambrose first, the backstory, if it's not gonna jive too well with the character, then it doesn't really work. Mil Muertes literally got the name because when he was a kid, he was in an earthquake accident where thousands of people died, and he survived.
And The Rock,
that all ties in.
Yeah, I love The Rock, the little stone that he has from, you know, last week. We're like, what the hell is that? Why is he, you know? They already piqued people's interest with it. Well, is he, you know, just deriving power from it? It was a human thing, inspiration. It was a reminder of all those people that died. I love that.
Is this the expression we use it every so often? You have my curiosity, now you have my attention.
Mm-hmm. No, at this point now, I think they have some of my money. The way this is going, like, so far there hasn't been many, if any, missteps, and that's another fine example of the character development.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We have that, and we also had a good promo on the show as well.
Oh, are you talking about the interview with Chavo?
Yes.
Yeah.
The sit down with the El Cholo Vampiro?
Yes. Yeah. Now, see, while we're talking about, well, with me, with the Mil Muertes, it was like, oh, it was cool because it was cinematic and you didn't have a narration. It was just like cinematic. And I just said that I thought it would be different if it was just somebody telling an origin story sitting in the back. But on the flip side of that coin, the interview with Vampiro and Chavo was pretty much Vampiro sitting down with Chavo in a wrestling setting. This is something that you would see in the genre of wrestling. Somebody, a commentator interviewing the wrestler. Why'd you do it, Chavo?
Yeah.
But they did it well. They did it to a T. And I think this is the best promo I have ever seen Chavo Guerrero Jr. do ever.
I agree completely.
Because it's a spotlight on him and not something else he's a part of, or a stable, or tag team, or whatever. It's him.
Even then, when it was tried to be him, he was still trying to live off of the Eddie stuff,
the legacy. So of the family. Him
stepping out of the whole family himself, and Vampiro's credit, he didn't hold any punches.
Yeah.
Like he's not like JR, like going to be timid about the question and hop around it until he stumbles over. Vampiro just flat out said,
"Damn, dog,
what the fuck, dog, put the didio." And Chavo just straight up answered him back like nothing.
Yeah,
and it just came across so, for something pre-taped, that came across very organic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and I loved that dynamic coming out of Vampiro because it kind of reminds you, oh yeah, Vampiro was a wrestler and a badass too. So yeah, he's just a commentator now, but he's still like, dude, I was in your shoes. I was on the other side of the interview. I'm asking you, no bullshit aside, why the fuck did you do this? Even
then, Vampiro knows the history. I think if he was in his shoes, he wouldn't have gone that far.
Yeah.
So for Chavo to go that far, he's like,
damn, dog.
Yeah.
I think he even said it the episode before, you know, when
Chavo.
After that, when Chavo was still beating up on Blue Demon when he was taken out on the stretcher, and Vampiro said it himself, man, that's crossing the line, and I'm a pretty violent guy myself.
Yeah.
You know? Dog, yeah.
Travis, if you had to summarize the main event triple threat match in one word.
Can I use two?
Sure.
Holy fuck!
Abel, two words or less.
Híjole.
Hey, Chris, I know you're one word you're probably going to say.
Shitballs.
That's a compound word. We'll allow it.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Wow. Maybe
match of the week pick for me.
Match of the week pick for me. Done.
Yeah, for me too.
Whoa. So, hold on.
We have a new contingent.
Uh-oh.
We have a new contingent for our match of the year candidacies.
Do we?
Wait. Are you saying what I think you're saying?
Match of the year?
Match of your candidate for you?
Are you?
Chris?
It's like we're all afraid to cross the line, even though we like...
We've really always had two choices. Now we have a
third. You know what? I'm in.
Oh, shit. We're doing a Shield style? Okay.
We're in.
Oh, shit. We're another in. One. It's been a while.
Match of the year candidate.
Lucha Underground, three episodes in. Back-to-back match of the week picks. And now the third episode, they have a match of the year candidate.
Which I wanted to do this shit for the first episode, but you guys didn't because I ruined it for you because it's too much hype. I made sure I kept my mouth shut and didn't ask you guys anything. But
yeah. You know me.
I know you.
You're the most anal of us all. You have the tightest ass.
You're the hardest to impress.
Yes, thank you.
That's a nicer way of saying that. Yeah, yes. Sure.
So for,
must be
for,
a white thing.
For me, shut up. Okay, for me.
Sorry, Lisa.
Well, okay. For me, this is I'm trying to be grounded in reality, not just blowing this out of proportion because it's a new TV show. New
However, show.
This is a damn good match.
All right.
Now, who's in this match? Tell us about this match.
Okay, there is the blue guy.
Chris.
We had Drago.
The blue guy.
Versus Pentagon Jr.
The white and black guy.
Versus Phoenix.
The white and red guy.
Yes.
Basically, it was a triple threat Mortal Kombat match.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Fight! Finish it!
Frosty!
Alright.
Friendship. Shut up, guys. Okay.
Fatality?
Let's get
falling arcade.
Let's get down to the nitty gritty. What specifically about this match makes it our match of the week pick and a match of the year candidate?
So many combination style moves I've never seen before.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't just. It didn't feel like okay. Let's do a spot. It's like they all rotated out and they all had their moments mm-hmm. to go around.
They had spots. They had counters.
Yeah.
I was wondering how long it was going to last before somebody jumped off that office.
Yep.
Yeah. 3 episodes.
Yeah. I saw the dude walking up the steps like, I didn't know this was an elimination match. Did I miss something? 5 minutes later.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Phoenix, he really impressed me with a certain move that he did where the opponents were on the outside of the ring. And he came up to the edge of the ring, jumped up onto the rope, but he had one foot on the inside of the bottom rope mm-hmm. and the other foot over the outside on the middle rope. And he used that as a springboard to jump off and do a flippy dippy plancha. That was really impressive because of the accuracy of the footwork that was needed to pull that off. It wasn't just, run and jump and clear the ropes. It was run, jump, bounce, boing, flip, get your leg out of the way, then, like, oh, God, it was
there's, like
it was
I said,
so crazy.
Yeah, so many different combinations. I'm not going to ask you this, Abel. I'm going to ask you this. Have you seen these guys before, Chris?
No.
This is the first time you've seen them?
First time I've seen them.
Me too. I was very impressed with what I saw. And which is weird, because the Phoenix, when I first saw him, I didn't think much of him. He just looked like a standard, maybe a little overweight luchador.
Yeah.
But then, he was busting
out
some
moves. Same thing with Drago. The costume and everything looked cool, but I was like, "This fat ass ain't gonna be." Able-. No, it was the Pentagon guy. It's like, you a little overweight for the fucking.
He's a little pudgy.
Yeah, a little pudgy. He's like, well, Samoa Joe can do it. Fuck him if ever doubt.
Yeah. Let's see. My initial reaction of Drago was that man, that guy's outfit is badass. I hope he's not all outfit.
Yeah.
You know, that was my first thing. It's like, oh, he's overcompensating for something. You know, he probably sucks in the ring. But he wound up being the most, I guess you say, the quickest, the fastest, the one that was putting more rotations into all his spots than anybody else. So I was really impressed with the guy.
It's funny you said that, because I was getting more impressions out of Phoenix for sure. For me, he was a star for that. And then the second one was
Pentagon Jr.
Pentagon Jr. Yeah, those... Drago didn't... He didn't seem... to impress me as much as the other guys.
Can I... Are we done gushing over this match? And can I pick a nit?
Sure.
Okay. My nit to pick came with the setup for the jumping off of the office. It seemed as though Phoenix and Pentagon... Or no, wait. It was... Who was it that took it? Phoenix was the one that went up to the top, right?
So it was Drago and Pentagon.
Yeah, Drago and Pentagon... If you paid enough attention, because I was looking at them, because I wasn't looking at Phoenix climbing up around, because I had my eye on those two, because they were the ones that were fighting.
Right.
But all of a sudden, they stopped fighting and started hugging each other and making it look like they were dizzy, but
and
they weren't dizzy.
Took four or five steps up
took
to the office.
Four or five steps, and then looked up, and then kept hugging each other, and then looked up again. And then I was like, oh, that other fool is there, and he's going to jump off. Like, if I wasn't paying attention to those two and only noticed that the guy was going up to the top at the time, I would be completely okay. But since I was fixated on those two because they were actually fighting, and then they were like, oh, we got to set up for this spot, that took me out of it just for that. And that honestly is the only flaw I saw in that
match.
And
even then, it could have checked you out of the match completely if they would have been focusing more on Phoenix walking around to the top as opposed to just the one flash of him on the stairs. And then, by the way, we still have two guys in the ring. Let's focus on them.
Yeah. That's what I'd say is
well,
the only flaw.
Aspect could have messed it up. But does that detract from the fact that we wanted a match of the year?
I don't think so. I don't think it hurts its match of the year candidacy, but when push comes to shove, on January 2nd or 3rd or whenever we wind up doing the episode, it might be something that hurts it being a pick. As of right now, I don't know. I mean, it's the one flaw I could pick out of it. Maybe after two or three more viewings.
That is a nitpick for sure.
But it's a definite nitpick. But that do you guys have any others?
Not I can think of.
Okay, well, there
the
you
fact
go.
That three unknown guys were able to surprise me as much as they did. Yeah, I was very impressed.
There's more to come. There's a lot more guys on that roster that either one of us or all of us don't know.
Yeah.
And so. I've said it before and I said it again. It takes a lot to get me to say these guys are the best at what they do.
Yeah.
So I'm really trying not to gush over the show, but they're making it hard not to.
I said it to a friend of mine earlier. Three episodes in, Lucha is now my priority show.
Yeah.
Lucha.
Hell, you said NXT, it two episodes in.
It's Lucha, NXT, WWE, TNA.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, you may not have that fourth one first for another week or so.
All right, let's go to
the barrio, into the ghetto.
Yeah, okay. TNA.
Last stop.
Last stop for this week and maybe forever as far as TNA goes.
For the year, apparently.
Yeah. Rumor has it that this may be the last episode of Impact on Spike for this year.
They're officially done with Spike.
Yeah.
Forever, ever.
And the announcement that's supposed to be official sometime this week, it's not official yet as of this recording, is that they are going to jump to a different channel called Destination America, which is a channel that a lot of people are unfamiliar with. I know I have that channel, but I've never even watched anything on the channel.
I don't have the channel.
You don't even have it?
I was looking at it earlier.
No? Chris, do you even have that channel?
My sister does at her house. Yeah, she does. I love Barbecue Pit Masters. That's all I know.
Okay, that's all.
That's it.
Isn't there a Larry the Cable Guy show on that channel?
I think no, I think that was Discovery.
Is that some kind of weird tie-in for next? Or are you talking about Raw's guest host? Is that why you're mentioning that?
No, I honestly think that...
I think there was a Discovery Channel show where he went across different states and talked about stuff that was in each state. Like, he did one specifically about moonshine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's not Destination America. Or maybe it might be.
I don't know. Anyway, it's a relatively unknown channel that's not that popular.
And if that's the case where one out of three guys doesn't have access to it...
That's not good for TNA.
Not good for TNA. I'm not gonna go out of my mind to.
Now here's the one argument against that. We just got done gushing about Lucha Underground, which one out of three of us gets that channel? You know,
technically, I do get it.
Right, you Spanish. In Spanish on Unimas, yeah, but you don't have El Rey, right?
Right,
yeah, but I don't know. My point is that if the product was good enough, people would treat TNA the way people are treating right now, or at least we are, with Lucha Underground. Despite the fact that it's going to a shittier channel with less coverage and less people that can see it, it'll still be successful. But I don't know if TNA has enough of that backing right now from support from loyal wrestling fans to where it going to a shittier channel, it'll do just fine because all those people will seek it out and find that channel and change cable providers to get that channel to watch TNA. I don't know if that'll happen.
I'm not going
to
do it.
You're not going to do it. Chris, will you be willing to seek out TNA?
Assuming your sister doesn't have Destination America, are you going to go out and find her?
Maybe. And it hinders on a couple of things. To start with, I think somebody's listening to our podcast over in TNA.
Okay.
I said this months ago.
Is it Jason Kirk?
Months ago, that one suggestion I had was for a Money in the Bank winner to not have the briefcase at all. Just leave it at home, stash it in the closet under a stack of pillows and blankets that you only break out in the wintertime until it's time to do the thing. Raise your hand if you knew Storm still had a briefcase.
No. For those not seeing this because it's not a video podcast, Chris, no one's raising their hands.
Exactly.
I completely forgot.
Now, which of course, made the cash in.
We're old men and we forget stuff.
No. When that happened, bravo.
Yes.
They got us.
Yeah. They got us.
In a good way.
First time for Feast and Fired and Money in the Bank history that somebody has done what you said and leave the briefcase off of effing TV for a long enough period of time that we fucking forget. First time. And how long has Money in the Bank / Feast or Fired been around?
Since 2005.
There you have it. So I'm surprised it took them this long.
Well, there was several things going on that opening segment.
Yeah.
For Explain. Impact.
Go ahead.
James Storm comes out with his stable that we already seen him with.
Right.
He calls out, because he's been trying to court Davey Richards. Mm-hmm. That doesn't work. Well, Eddie Edwards comes out, and they start bickering or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then the attack, whatever. He brings. That's what he hits him with the briefcase, right, yeah. that he pulls out of his ass. Yeah. So then he tells the ref to start the match. He needs a tag team partner. You hear Abyss's music comes in. Hey, here's my new tag team partner.
Abyss. Well, this is after you're already thinking that it was going to be Manic. Because right. Manic stayed on the apron.
Right.
Facetiously like, ooh, am I his partner? Am I not? Maybe. I don't know. And then Abyss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm getting my visions mixed up here, but it was it Abyss coming out that we weren't supposed to know he was part of James Storm's group at first?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was as though he was trying to make it look like he might make the save.
Right.
But, ooh, he didn't make the save.
And because of that, Black Hole Sam later, what do we got?
New tag team champions.
Yep. Which I guess is, I don't know if this will be Freebird rules or anything, but it's Abyss and James Storm, right?
Right now, it seems that those two are the champs.
I would think it would always have to be at least James Storm because it was his briefcase.
Yeah. So, hey,
out of the 4-man team of the Revolution so far, yay or nay?
Yay. Like it.
Yay. It's interesting enough.
Yeah. It might be the best thing TNA has going right now. I'd venture to say that.
Yeah.
I'd venture to say that.
Yeah.
That's the next built thing that's going on right now. Because the built thing with Lashley MVP and Kenny King starting to fizzle a little bit.
Yeah.
So this is the next group.
You know what the other thing that's good about it is? Is that it's TNA guys. Storm, Abyss, Manic. And, well, not so much with, you know, the Great Sonata, but still the only time.
No, American fans know him. He's American, a TNA guy.
Yeah, exactly. He's a TNA guy. Yeah. It's not like, oh, Kurt Angle, who came from WWE. Oh, yeah. Bad News Barrett. Yeah. Oh, MVP or what? No. This is TNA guys, which I don't know if that adds a little bit extra oomph to it or maybe we're just romanticizing the fact that it's homegrown talent, but I like it.
It was random at first, and we didn't know what the hell was going on, but they were making it work.
Mm-hmm. And I like Abyss being the second masked, quote-unquote, guy to be in the stable. It doesn't make Manic feel like the odd man out anymore.
Well, no, even that, I didn't think he's the odd man out because Sonata's the face paint. So we always had, like...
Okay. And it still solidifies Storm being the leader because he's open.
Yeah.
No mask, no anything. Everybody else is covered in one way or shape or
form. How do you feel about Manic recruiting Mahatma Gandhi?
I like it.
Yeah.
So do I.
I don't know how I feel about the follow-up segment when Storm was like, who the fuck are you? Get the hell out of here.
And then he spit on his hand.
Why'd you bring this guy in here? Get out of here. I don't know if I liked all that, but I like...
It's that attitude that got Sonata in the first place in the group.
That is true.
So if he's going to use that attitude to try to get Mahatma Gandhi in there with the other group, so
be it. What the hell is this dude's real name?
Shiri, I think.
Shiri? I don't
know. But let's take a look, but you know, was it last week and this week? It was Manic by himself. We didn't see Storm doing it. Yeah, he was doing it himself. He was, so, tell me about yourself. You know, just things like that, just trying to befriend him to get him. And then that's why I thought the whole thing with Storm was this kind of a whole...
Disjointed?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
And but then again, I don't know what Storm was whispering to him.
Yes, there you go. I was going to say, if you catch at the very end, Storm, I would like to think, actually gave kudos to Manic. Yeah. Like,
keep it up or something like
that. Yeah, like, this is how we're going to manipulate the guy. We're going to use reverse psychology on him. Make him feel like a piece of shit. Make him feel like we don't really want him. And that's how you get him.
Yeah.
You know, and I think at the very tail end there, that's what he did. Although
they were making, the new guy seem like very gullible, like he'd want to join the group anyways.
I like that because I think it might be a representation of how gullible he would be being somebody first time in America in a new country. You know, yeah. Not saying that, oh, foreigners are gullible. I'm just saying that with this particular storyline, yeah. it could be a yeah. little bit believable.
Right.
You know,
I
like he doesn't understand what the customs are.
I agree with you.
I know. I'm just,
you can stop defending yourself.
I'm not. Well,
so another match of the year candidate of ours had a rematch. Aries Lashley.
Was Aries Lashley won a match of the year candidate?
Yes.
Damn, we got to remember these things. The year's coming up fast. All right, so Aries Lashley 2, match of the week candidate?
Nope.
No?
It is still out for me for some reason.
Did it?
Yeah.
I'll tell you why.
I was willing to give it candidacy, but...
The one difference that we've had so far between New York City and Bethlehem... Gravity?
The fuck?
Yeah, because New York City's all nice and lit, and it's a full house. And uh-huh. in Bethlehem, they have all these angles where they're fighting in space because they don't want to show the crowd and all the empty seats and all the gravity.
Ah, I get what you mean now. Okay. So you
the crowd's a big part of the new, of what made the New York matches and the New York tapings really good. Mm-hmm. And the lack of crowd in Bethlehem, when you've got 300 people in a place that should fit about 3,000 people, mm-hmm. it comes across. So when everything's dark and lit and they're looking for like a light in the dark, no, it's not working.
No.
Well, we've already covered the aspect of where they're at and... Yeah, it does affect the presentation of that match, but I think the ending and everything just kind of fell flat for me. Just the match itself,
yeah,
just kind of fell flat for me, unfortunately, because I wanted this match to be really good.
Well, could it be just because it was somewhat impromptu?
A little bit,
yeah.
Which is weird because they announced it in the beginning, and then halfway through the show, when Aries came out to save somebody from Lashley. It's like, oh, you want to fight me? Fine, we'll do it tonight. It's like, I thought we already established that in the beginning.
Because they're doing this, because it's all pre-tape, they're doing their own on this week's
flow.
Yeah. Here's what's happening this week on Impact. Yeah. Or after the post-credits for the previews for next week.
Yeah.
Next week, check out Aries versus, you know, they're spoiling their own show, pretty much. Mm-hmm. So.
Which this isn't the first time that they've done that, where they spoiled their own show. Yeah. Which, oh, man. Duh.
There was, I will say real quick, there was, for me, it was a decent match between Taryn Terrell and Madison Rayne.
Mm-hmm.
Thought it was decent.
Yeah.
Not match the movie. Candidacy, but it was worth watching, I guess.
Okay.
And regardless of how many good promos we had in wrestling this week, Joe's held up a lot, too.
Oh, yes. Well, that's one aspect.
That was a very important thing.
If there's one thing that Joe knows how to do is how to solidify anything.
Mm-hmm.
A match, he'll make you want to watch it. A belt, he'll make you want to watch defend it. When he vacates it, he makes you want to watch him come back to beat the shit out of whoever's the fuck that has the belt. And that's exactly what Joe did.
Mm-hmm.
That was a really good promo. My nitpick on that one was I wish there's some authority figure like Angle or whatever in the ring to show the importance of it. It just felt like he's doing a promo and he's going to put the belt right there and he's going to walk away.
Yeah.
But other than that, it was fantastic promo. And I think next week or this week on the final episode, we have the
match for the new champ.
Who's the match?
Don't know. Four. I think it's a 4-way match.
It is
Crazy
4-way.
Steve,
no.
Manic,
DJZ,
and Aries.
No,
and
Low-Key.
Low-Key, yeah.
I think Low-Key's winning.
That's us just guessing.
And I think I remember the spoiler because it happened 8 months ago, but I didn't ever tell you guys about the James Storm stuff. I kind of already knew.
Nay, bastard. Spoiler reading ass. Yeah.
And then after that, that's it. No more best ofs. Hopefully, there's three things that TNA needs to do.
What's that?
Number one, take this time to make a reboot.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Whatever's working, Revolution, Menagerie,
mm-hmm.
keep. Whatever isn't working.
Okay.
Number two, if they're going to be at Destination America, it's not going to be Destination Orlando. They have to find a way to keep this thing on the road. But they can't.
But damn near bankrupt
last
time.
They can't shoot themselves in the foot by having this Bethlehem shit. Accept what you are. Go to a place that's only seats 400 and 500 and sell it out. Have the intimacy like the Manhattan Center, except on a smaller scale.
Have a bigger market, but a smaller venue. Because it works in New York. It doesn't work in Bethlehem.
It works in Boston. It doesn't work in Corpus Christi.
It works in Houston. It doesn't work in...
10% of the Alamo Dome.
Right. Yeah. go to places where you will be sold out, even if that means the venue that you have to pick is going to be a smaller venue that you sell out. You know?
And number three.
If you're going to sell 300 tickets, sell it in a place that, that has 500 people that, that can be fitting in there.
Number three. No more of this monthly special edition crap. No TNA extravaganza stuff. Keep it simple. You have the weekly show that I would even guess to cut it down to an hour. And then you have four pay-per-views a year. Genesis, Lockdown, Slammiversary, Bound for Glory.
I'd make it six.
If all of your stuff is happening on TV, no one's going to pay.
Okay. I'd make it six. I throw in there Destination X and Hardcore Justice.
If it's an hour-long show, you can space it out to a pay-per-view every 3 months. Just like TakeOver. Just like NXT.
Okay.
They don't have... I agree with you, just the fact that they don't have a big enough roster. And they could space it out by doing an hour show. But I would say to bring... Okay, let me back up. With WWE not having pay-per-views anymore, there's a huge market for pay-per-views. There was a... I saw the teaser trailer for the New Japan Wrestle Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And they said in the trailer, the biggest pay-per-view event of the year. Well, you know what? They're probably right.
Yeah.
There's no more WWE pay-per-views. You might have the biggest pay-per-view of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And cable companies, pay-per-view companies, they're going to want to eat that shit up.
Yeah. I mean, there's still quote-unquote pay-per-views that WWE does, but I mean...
No. That's not their primary source of revenue
and
anymore.
In all honesty, they're not... actually pay-per-views. They're more like
the company WWE, they can call them pay-per-views all they want.
But they're not quite pay-per-views.
No, they're not.
They're like nudge-nudge, wink-wink pay-per-views, you know? Yeah.
Because you're paying the network.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
It's not a pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
Chris, I agree. I was going to say it before you even said anything. I was going to say, don't even, if you get a deal, make your negotiation, whatever, to start maybe a year from now or 6 months from now. Do refresh everything. Give yourself time.
That's why I'm glad that we're doing these best ofs, because they have, from what I've read, they have on hold the first weekend in January at the Manhattan Center to take brand new episodes.
Like January 6th or something like that. Yeah,
brand new episodes. And if they're going to do it on Destination America, then it'd be perfect to have these best of TNA. Where it's a pay-per-view from Texas or a pay-per-view from New York or a show from England or across the country to where, yeah, we've been all around the country and these are the best matches we have. And then after 3 or 4 weeks, start it over from scratch on January. The stuff that's working, keep it. And the stuff that's not working, try again.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're going to do that, if there's going to be a soft reboot, I would go the lengths of, you know what, I'm going to try to find it on YouTube, or I'm going to try to find it on the Pirate Ship.
Well, of course, if it's a reboot, yeah, everybody's going to try to check it out because we want to see what's going on.
Yeah. If it's the same old stuff that got them off of Impact and off of Spike in the first place, if they're going to die, eventually I'm going to just let them die. But if they look like they want to fight for it, if they want to fight to stay alive, then I'm going to keep looking.
Yeah. And on that note, before we sign off here, I just want to say this is the last Impact. Let's just run. I'm going to run down the matches that's going to be on here. For the last Impact...
On Spike.
All right. We're going to start off with Chris Melendez versus Kenny King.
Okay.
It's been a few. It's been building up.
A little bit. Yeah.
It's been good so far.
Have the blow-off match on the final episode, right? Yeah. Okay. Hardcore Rules. Dreamer versus Bram.
Yes.
That's going to be good.
That's going to be good.
It's going to be violent. Yep. Okay. Here's the vacant TNA X Division Championship match. Low-Key versus DJZ versus Manic versus Tiger Uno.
I like Manic in that one. I hope that new stable gets all the gold.
Okay.
That's what I want.
I would go for low-key myself, but yeah, I can see your point.
Okay, yeah. Low-key would be a good
And then to... also, we also have the TNA Knockouts Championship match. It's going to be Gail Kim versus Taryn Terrell versus Havoc.
Y'all can guess who wins that one.
Havoc?
Gail Kim.
Oh, well, maybe. Okay.
Taryn,
I mean, they've been needing to eventually give her the belt.
Got a good point. I don't know. I would like to see TNA go out with Crystal's old analysis.
Crystal's like spoilers.
Yeah. TNA, I would like for them to see, like, go off on TV with...
Well, here's the problem with that. When they recorded this, they didn't necessarily know that this was going to be their send-off for the year.
They timed it pretty good, though.
Well, they did.
For some of these matches.
Okay.
So
I don't know if they knew for certain, though, that this was going to be their last episode. I could be wrong. I don't know. Chris is just grinning like a fucking... save it. Stop, Chris. Don't. No. Bad Chris.
Are you ready to go home?
No. We have a couple of other things to get to.
Well, get to it.
All right.
So I want you to go home.
Some indie stuff here that's going on. We have ROW putting out Christmas Chaos, which is the biggest show of the year for them. Christmas Chaos is kind of their anniversary show. So this year, December 13th. So already, you know, start getting ready for that. The thing that they're kind of putting over right now on the interwebs is the fact that they are going to have a guest tag team show up, and they haven't yet said who it's going to be. They've been kind of being cutesy about it, putting out clues as to who it might be, whatever, having the fans guess. But my guess is that by the time this week is over, we'll probably know who it is. But yeah, so keep your peepers out for that, and get ready to head out there to the Clear Lake Rec Center for Christmas Chaos, December 13th. Christmas Chaos, like I said, is their biggest show, so it's always good. So that's that. Now, we also have some big news coming out of the promotion formerly known as NWA Houston. at least we think, anyway. We think that's what's happening here. It seems as though on Facebook that our friends from Clutch City Productions...
Clutch City! It's been a while.
They're having a hand in quote-unquote rebranding, and there's a picture of Gilbert from Clutch City with Tony Brooklyn, you know, the guy who's, you know, in charge of NWA Houston, and they had this meeting, and now it's on Facebook that there's big things coming, and there's some rebranding that's happening. So whenever we first saw that the schedule for NWA Houston was going to be changed up to once every 2 months, we thought, something's up. Something's going down. There's something funny about that. Now there's this news coming out. I don't know what's going on there, if it's all related, but if Clutch City's involved, you know how we are with them. We have a good working relationship with them. We've had a good working relationship with Tony and NWA, or that promotion anyway. So kind of interested and excited to see what's going to happen there. And we'll, of course, keep you guys posted as news comes out.
Yep.
So, okay, now that's that. Unless you guys have any opinions about any of that stuff.
I have one last thing to share.
Ooh.
This is the first minute and a half.
Uh-oh.
Of the most depressing thing I've seen since the first 5 minutes of Up. And I want you to take a look for yourself.
Sorry.
Randy Savage, I am the true meaning of Macho Man. That cannot be denied. When he knew
What are you looking at? A tire, a Jeep. What else do you hear?
He was very passionate about achievement.
Randy took everything to the
limit. Oh, they're talking about his car accident.
When he was quiet, he was intense. I'm talking about intensity, and I'm talking about Macho Madness.
Randy put pressure on himself to be the best.
I am the number one wrestler in the world today.
Very driven.
He's really dedicated.
Practice.
He was a perfectionist.
Totally meticulous.
Living on the edge of a lightning bolt, and I do not apologize for that.
Wow, that is depressing.
We want to share some breaking news with you now.
The wrestling world lost one of its most colorful characters today.
The professional wrestler known as Macho Man Randy Savage,
one of the biggest personalities to ever enter the ring,
died today in a car crash in Florida near Tampa.
Ugh. Damn it, Chris.
It starts that way, it's in the middle that way, and it ends that way.
Really?
Depressing.
Yeah? New Macho Man DVD.
That's the documentary portion that was on iTunes for sale for $12.99 on HD and $9.99 in SD, which I downloaded this morning.
Mm-hmm.
They showed the first 30 minutes of the documentary on the network, minus the intro that I showed you.
Yeah.
And I watched the rest today.
Yeah? How was it?
You just said.
Very informative. It felt like I could have, that something was missing. Like there might have been a little more info that was missing. But for the most part, it's bleak.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Well, something not so bleak that I just found out yesterday that very quiet under the radar, there was a really good DVD came out last year. It was called The Attitude Era.
Yes.
Volume 2 just came out. What the hell?
Yeah, that surprised me too.
It's a black cover. It's got Stone Cold on the turnbuckles. It's You flip it over. It's like it says like 3 hours of like other moments, things like that. So they talk about all kinds of different things. So yeah, it's
interesting.
If you like the Attitude Era, there you go, Volume Two, right there. Bam. Mm. I'm surprised that we didn't get any
commercials.
Yeah, probably because you have to go buy it. It's not on the network.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess that might be, you know, some things I need to check out. Both of those. But man, between that and the network and the stuff on Monday Night Wars, I don't know if I necessarily need to watch a second volume of the Attitude Era.
You can skip the Monday Night Wars this week. It's the Divas Go Wild or something.
Oh, is it?
Is the show to watch though? That you told me you saw already?
Wyverwies.
Who's on it this week?
Wodes. And Flair.
Oh, I watched that. That was good.
Yeah?
That was actually pretty good.
That's next on my to-do list.
Yeah, a lot of, you know, obviously because it's Rose and Flair, but a lot of the old school stuff is in there.
Where Flair broke Dusty's arm out in the parking lot tied into that truck?
I don't think that they specifically go there.
Is it a two-parter?
No.
Oh, boo.
Yeah. But some of the stuff about Flair coming in and, you know, wanting to be like Dusty and then eventually fighting Dusty.
They did a job of showing them both coming into the wrestling business.
Rambling Ricky Rhodes.
Yeah, they go into all that. Yeah. That was a good – I like the format of the show where it shows you where they both came from and how they both got in – where they're both at in their careers when the Wyverly started.
Yeah. Wyverly.
That's what I said, Wyverly.
Wyverly.
Yeah. Are we done?
I think so. I think we're done. Oofta. All right. So if you enjoyed our show today, please make sure you go and check out our special edition episode of the HWR road trip out to San Antonio for Ring of Honor's Glory by Honor 13. We had what I'd say is probably one of the best interviews we've ever conducted with Kazarian. And we also had some great interviews with ROH's The Kingdom as well as ACH. So definitely check it out. It's a great listen. And I'd like to think that we didn't go out to San Antonio for nothing. So please listen to the show. That way we don't feel like we've just wasted the trip.
If you don't like that, listen to Pop Culture Rewind. It's a good show.
Oh yeah, that too. Yeah, the food episode's still out there. Is there any new episodes in the works for Pop Culture Rewind?
There's something in the works, but it's not out yet.
Yeah. What about Deep Horror? Deep in the Horror of Texas.
Deep in the Horror of Texas. That's we just released another episode 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So that's gonna be every twice a month.
Okay.
So that's not as frequent as these other episodes.
What about Stoppage Time? Has Scott done any new Stoppage Time?
I'm not sure.
It's been a couple
Dynamo's
of weeks.
Dynamo's not in the playoffs, and I think they're nearing the finals.
Oh, Dynamo's not in the playoffs, so they have sour grapes, so they're not making any new episodes. All right, so that's it. Thanks so much for listening, guys. Adios, my friends. Keep it classy.
Turtles.
Damn, dog.
Beach it coming on, Travis.
Wonderful.
Bravo.
I loved that.
Oh, it was great.
Well, it was pretty good.
Well, it wasn't bad.
Well, there were parts of it that weren't very good,
It could have been a lot better.
I didn't really like it.
It was pretty terrible.
It was bad.
It was awful.
I was terrible.
Get him away.
Hey, boo.
Boo.